Is that the sage I gave you?
Mm-hmm. I always have a hard time lighting it.
Is the camera rolling?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I was going to ask you your opinion on my video. Not your technical advice on my technology skills. We all know that they're at the
I was really impressed.
For your yoga journal?
Yeah, for you. I was actually really... I was like...
She had words and she had clips.
All because
you told me about that app.
Yeah. Wait,
otherwise I would have been a hot mess.
I didn't see I only saw the little blurb from Instagram.
What?
Yeah.
It's 2.5 minutes.
You blended it with a coat hanger? What is that?
What? It is hemp.
Let's clarify what you're burning.
This is white sage. And
because anybody checking in right now, they're
it's a big blunt.
No.
It's not. It's white sage and this is hemp rope. And the reason why I like to light it with the hemp rope is because all lighters have butane in it, so then like we're inhaling a tiny little bit of butane, so it just makes it more pure because hemp is great. And if you like to smoke marijuana, hemp rope is also great, so you're not inhaling butane as well. So we're just like, you know, bringing new energy into the room, and it always smells relaxing and good.
Can we talk about how much I love your hair?
Thanks. Yes, I love it too.
No, but you need to watch my video. It's 2.5 minutes.
I want to watch it.
And it has Van Morrison in the background the whole way through.
And she's got multiple clips and words and things coming
in. I was like trimming and cutting and splitting.
Oh my god, I hope you win.
We win. Even if you don't win.
You should.
Like,
so they're looking for 170 submissions.
So they're looking for an ambassador for someone that is what you're going to be doing. That's like a wanderlust that's traveling around that can be the brand.
That can like go to yoga studios, festivals, and talk with people and share their story. And
so that was like my whole job for you. And I could be your assistant.
That was like my whole video. That was like when we really open up and allow ourselves to be vulnerable and share our stories, what we realize is that we all struggle with the same things.
Yes.
And so when those barriers come down, that's really where connection can happen. That's where the growth and transformation begins. Because we all walk around like, oh, I'm perfect. I have all my shit together.
Yep.
Hello. Lived in that space pretty much my entire life. But the reality is no one is. It's all a shit show, right? And when we pretend like it's not. I was talking with somebody last week and I ended up writing this thing that said, being broken is okay. We're all broken in some way, shape, or form.
That's so weird you just said that.
It's like, true happiness comes from being around people that make your brokenness a little less, and you could do the same for theirs.
So I just posted an Instagram post. I did a backbend on the Sarasota Beach, and it said, you know, there's that famous yoga saying, like, bend so you don't break.
Yeah.
And, like, I like that saying, but I don't like that saying because I'm a firm believer in break. Like, break in half so that you can heal together better and stronger.
Yeah, you gotta break it.
And so if you keep bending and you're just bending, I feel like you're putting up with the bullshit. You're keeping the bullshit. Like, you need to break and then heal yourself to be bigger and better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm like a firm believer on it. I mean, I've had a lot. Me, myself, I mean, I am, I don't hate saying like blessed, but like I haven't had too many hardships in my life. I haven't had a lot of people die, and like I'm really bad with death. Like I had my Aunt Donna pass away, rest in peace, Donna. But, and some like younger people die in my life, but I haven't gone through some crazy hardships. But I have friends that have gone through some shit. And I have witnessed, and you see it, whether it's in movies, you read it in books, or you witness it firsthand, that you are always dealt with shit that you can handle.
Yeah.
And if you couldn't have handled it, then you wouldn't have been, it wouldn't have came to you. And struggle is really what makes people
Absolutely.
Who they are. And like, it's what makes you interesting. And one, like, whether it's breaking, like completely, like losing yourself, drowning yourself in misery, depression, like anxiety, whatever it is, and like pulling yourself out of that misery is like, then all of a sudden it's like all these layers just dissolve, and like who you really are shines because you had to go through all this shit. You had to know exactly who you weren't to figure out who you are.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But it's like society makes you feel bad if you have anxiety, if you're depressed, if you
are
coping. Yeah. You know, it's not accepted. But here's what's messed up. Everybody has something.
Yeah.
And we all try to mask it and like walk this line and, and wear the, you know, the put yourself in the box. And it's like, if that were just all okay to like let the guard down and be like, here's how I'm screwed up.
Yeah.
You know, here's my problem. What's yours?
By the way, I'm fucked up.
Right.
And that's so hard to admit because you're becoming vulnerable.
And you love people that you meet like that, that just throw it out on the table and like, I'm a hot mess.
How
like,
many times do you hear people go, God, I really like her because she's real?
Yes.
You know immediately when you meet somebody and you're like, oh, that's a whole nice, neat package with a bow on it.
Yeah.
And then you meet somebody else and they're like, yeah, I'm a hot mess.
Yes.
And you're like, okay, that's cool.
I haven't brushed my hair in a day.
I haven't brushed my hair, you know, or like I'm...
No sleep.
No sleep.
haven't washed hair. Haven't brushed hair.
Yeah.
Whatever, you know.
I haven't washed my hair in 12 days.
But that's where we're human. And we try to make it out so that we're not. And...
Yeah,
I don't know. So I get really passionate about that.
Yeah. So let's talk about love.
No, we can't go there. It's a whole nother. It's going to be like an hour-long podcast.
but no, I mean like love in the sense of love with yoga.
Okay, yeah.
Because this is going on Valentine's Day.
Yes.
So
we mentioned this before, but talking about how long have you gone not meditating, not doing yoga. And the more that, you know, me personally, the more that I practice, the more that I've read all these spiritual energy books, Mal and Sal, the energy and... feeling energies and just that whole other realm of reality that is so real and tangible to me now. I don't even know where I'm going with this.
Keep going. You're good.
Just let it fly.
I was talking about energies. Oh, yeah. So, like, even though I won't... Like, I had a hand injury the other day. And Angel was trying to show me how to do, like... use what we're using now, and I hurt my hand. So because of that, I couldn't go to my vinyasa classes. Long story short, I've read and the classes that I've gone to because of inner work in my head, I'm in like a constant state of yoga or like meditation. Like I'm constantly just trying, and I have gotten this way because of marijuana. Like marijuana makes you be in the present moment. Like whatever you're going through, if you have any anxiety or freaking out, some people, this isn't so. But for me, it's like if whatever else is going on, all of a sudden, if I got high right now, it's like I'm just right here and I'm looking at my teacup and I'm talking.
So I've never been high.
Yes, you're like high in life.
I've never smoked marijuana.
Yeah, and I do every day, but
that's why I love you.
But what I'm saying is that because of marijuana, because of yoga, because of meditation, even though I might not practice like that, that's where my love is just with the present moment. And that's what a lot of people come to yoga from, is because of what we were talking about, the things that make you human, that's just the mundane stuff, like getting groceries, like stuff that is just tasks, like the checklist that you have to do to be a human, to function in society.
It doesn't have to be tasks.
Right, and you can enjoy every task too, side note. You can like, you know, always singing, doing dishes, like, yeah, it's awesome, I'm doing dishes, I'm cleaning stuff, you know. Buddha always liked cleaning dishes, I think. I always think of it whenever I do.
I hate dishes.
Yeah.
However, it's all in my thought process.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to get at. It's like your thoughts. So like... love and loving yoga, it's because like all those thoughts just go away. And one time I was in Jodi's workshop yoga, and you said something like, oh, you know, if you have any thoughts, like just let them float away. And the way that you said it, it's like if you could close your eyes and imagine yourself in like a big, almost like you're in Costa Rica, this open, all wooden with pillar things, white curtains flowing out throughout. And like you're sitting there and all these thoughts pop into your head and you just let them flow out and then like fly with the curtains and go out. And that's what you described. And that's what yoga does once you get in there. And you can't get in there unless you breathe deep. And you're just like, what am I doing right now? I'm putting my foot forward. And you're just in the constant moment, even just right now. What am I doing? And with you guys, I'm talking.
But think of how hard. Seriously, breath is so natural. Your body does it without you even thinking about it. But how hard is it to really breathe? Like,
it's hard not
to breathe, but it is.
It is. Did you know that if you take more than 15 breaths per minute, then you're automatically sending signals to your amygdala that your body is
your
going
what?
Into your amygdala? It's a little part of your brain. It's like, well, it's your alert system. So,
cool.
Like, the sensories go to the amygdala, and it triggers, like, oh, I smell smoke. And then you take your other sensories and they're like, oh, it's just from this. You're not in danger. But if you take more than 15 breaths per minute, the amygdala sends signals to your brain.
Stress.
And you go into fight or flight mode. And that's why we have so much anxiety. And that's why you see people, they get worked up and they're like, just take a breath. And everyone says that, but they don't really know where it's coming from. Yeah. Taking a breath and just if you're anxious, if you have anxiety, take 15 breaths in 1 minute. Slow down your breath.
Let's just do this. Come on. Let's all do this together. We're going to take 3 breaths.
Okay.
You too. Okay, ready? We're going to do deep breaths.
Inhale through the nose. Exhale through the mouth.
Yep.
Inhale. Exhale. Inhale.
Exhale.
Inhale. Sage. Exhale.
I think we need another one.
Different space now.
Isn't that totally amazing?
Yeah.
It just puts you in a whole different vibe.
Like, I have goosebumps.
Yeah, you look high.
High on oxygen.
Sage.
So, recently, I went on a road trip, and I was down in Texas. I was there for work, and then I took the weekend, and I went down to Texas, and I took this gong sound healing event night.
I know, I'm addicted.
So I literally walked out of there and I felt like I looked like a complete different person. And I was like, I looked in the mirror, I was like, I can fucking love you. Like, you are awesome.
Aww.
And I got into my meditative state. So, like, I meditate daily. I meditate maybe a total of 2 hours a day.
Wow.
It's just part of my practice. Mm-hmm. I get up in the morning, I meditate. I go to yoga, I meditate. I take lunch breaks, I meditate. I go home, I meditate. And even if it's in 20, 15 minutes, it's usually around, like, truthfully, an hour and a half to 2 hours. I usually try to achieve.
So what does what you saying that 2 hours a day? So what does meditation mean to you? Like, what does it mean to meditate? Because I bet it's different for all three of us. So we could touch upon that.
So, like,
people think, side note, I'm sure most people just think meditation means you're sitting cross-legged, your hands are like this, and you're just breathing, and that's it.
Well, that's funny, because when my mom, she's like, you always make time. I'm sidetracking for a second, but then I will get back. So she's like, you always go to yoga, and I think it's awesome that you're that connected to it. She goes, when I think of yoga, I think of somebody sitting cross-legged and doing this.
Yeah.
It goes back to people's perceptions, so I think it's a great question.
Yeah.
What do you mean by meditation? Because, like, people have these preconceived ideas of, like, meditation is like, you know?
And then most people look around and they're like, this feels weird.
I don't know exactly how to explain that. And I think that the whole meditation process we should totally go into on a podcast. So
yeah. We'll but what does it mean to you? Like, what do you do when you meditate?
Is it always different?
No. It's hard to explain because, like, I did get raised Buddhist.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something, it's not, like, it's harder to explain to you guys than it is to just more or less be like, it's just as natural to me as walking. It's just as natural to me as learning how to ride a bike, or you learn how to swim. You always know how to swim. You always know how to learn to ride a bike. It's just, I sit in a posture, and there are different postures depending on how my body feels. You know, if my hips feel good.
Just stillness.
And I guess the best way is, like, you empty your mind. And you just focus on the divine white light, and you're just there in that present moment. It's an outer body of experience for me at this time, because
you've done it for so long.
Because it's just part of who I am. It's not even I have to go meditate. It's like, no, I'm taking time for my meditation. It's not I have to go meditate or I'm gonna meditate. It's like, no, this is what I do. This is me. It's just as ordinary as taking a shower.
See, that is such a beautiful thing, because a lot of people, and I'm having this, well, I'm on a second trial number two of doing this Kundalini monk, what I'm calling like monk cleanse, but it's important, even with anything in life, if people want to start running, for instance, they're like, oh, I got to run, like, maybe you're looking forward to that run, maybe you're like, oh, I have to run again today, or like, if you're trying to do meditation, and if you're like, oh, I have to go meditate. Like, you might have to get to those points and you might not want to meditate and you're going to have to do it. And like, you probably already went through all that stuff, but you are in like the way more advanced level. If you say it's like walking or like taking a pee, then it's just like, you don't even think about it.
Pee.
I was going to say taking a poo.
Just go there. Yeah.
I was going to say taking a poo.
And but. I think also the other thing too is like, I live in a meditative state. Yeah, I come out of it, but the majority of my life is lived in a meditative state. And it's being in the present moment, paying attention to my breath, and having the stillness and calm within myself. I usually live in a meditative state, except for when you cut me off in traffic.
Except
then it's
when
like,
you get triggered.
You know, I'm out.
And but then how reality is, and there might be several of you out there that are going, okay, that's great that you can live in a meditative state. I don't even know what that means.
Totally.
But I that's why I love this conversation, because here's the reality is people are curious about meditation. People are curious about yoga. People are curious about cleanses and whatever, but it sometimes, if you don't know how it fits or where to even begin, what do? You don't know where to begin.
So we'll have to make some videos.
You just don't do anything. Yeah. And like in yoga and meditation is such a, like a heavy word. You know, all of us are probably type people that are like, you know, yoga's everything. Like, yoga's life. But people are like, what does that mean? Like, no. Like, people that aren't, that don't know anything about it in such a big, vast universe of what it is, and it is everything, that it's hard to explain. Like, that is why we're starting these top conversations.
So, back to the gong healing, which I completely forgot.
Yeah,
sidetracked.
Way off.
So, I started listening to the gong sound healing, went back to the little room that I was renting, and I felt completely different. And I actually texted Jody and I was like, you need to, like, I sent you some links of some gong sound healing, and since then I'll send them to you.
Thanks.
I don't know why I didn't send
and this is me in my chair with my headphones in and my gong healing.
And I since then I have not gone to sleep without it.
Wow.
And I literally, I could get, like, last night my flight got in at 2 a.m. I skipped yoga this morning. I was up at 6. So I literally slept from 2 to 6, and it wasn't really necessarily a good sleep, but I played my music, and up until now, like, I've been pretty much, I felt well-rested. And so with the sound healing, the guy that was there, you know, his love and passion for the gongs and the vibrations from the gongs go through your body, and it reacts to your brain and kind of all that stuff, and it just made me realize, like, okay, I sit here and I meditate, but, like, when I looked at myself in the mirror afterwards, I was like, I love that person, and why don't I do this? So that's when I started, was like, you know what? Like, I love this. I'm going to do it.
Yeah,
so
you felt drawn to it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how
it feels good.
Yeah.
Yes. That's what keeps you coming back.
Yes.
It's not like, God, I got to go do
this. The pleasure.
It's like, I actually feel good when I get done with yoga, when I get done with meditation, whatever.
And at first, and maybe for yoga or meditation at first, you might think outwardly, like you said, like you looked in the mirror and you're like, okay, I love who I am, but, and that's how it usually is for a lot of people. Like, we all, well, not Angel, but Jody and I are both drawn to yoga because we want to lose weight. But then, like, something happens, and it's going to happen for someone at all different times. It might be a year. It might be 5 years. It might be, like, only 2 classes. Like, I know people that have gotten hooked after just 1 class. Something else happens inwardly, and that's, like, what we're all touching upon, is that all of a sudden, inwardly, you feel love inside. And you might be like, yeah, right, like, you don't feel love inside, but maybe you try it. And, like, meditating, whether you don't have to be in a seated posture, you can meditate even in your office, which sounds so horrible, but it's better than just mindlessly scrolling through your phone. You know, you can go into an empty office space, you can just go and sit in your car. And instead of taking a nap, which some people might do, or huffing down whatever food, you can just sit there and, like, you know, try to sit up tall so you're not, like, collapsing in your spine. And just breathe and, like, see what happens. You might think about the weirdest stuff ever. You might, like, not think about anything. But you're going to walk away and you're going to feel space. Like, space in your thoughts. Like, space in your body. You're going to feel space and oxygen that, like, that literally, like, energy centers, like, open up. Like, we're all just little dot, dot, dots. And the more that you do yoga, meditate, like, they actually open up. Like,
so what's cool. Yoga and love to you?
And meditation.
Yeah, because clearly now we've gone into that. This is more like a yoga rambles one.
Yes. Just lots to talk about.
Love, I don't know yet. Yeah, I can't go there.
But do you know love for yourself?
Love that you felt through yoga meditation.
Okay.
I'm learning. I am not there at all. I have moments where I'm like,
self-love?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm good.
It's hard to love yourself.
It is.
It's really hard to love yourself.
Meditation, for me, one of my coping mechanisms slash, I also call it one of my largest strengths. My biggest strengths is like, I'm going constantly.
Oh, yeah.
And, but I know when I start to be in that space where I literally would say to myself, you need to sit down.
Yeah.
You need to sit. And that to me means sit down and just breathe. Mm-hmm. And not think about everything that's on the list, everything that's on the calendar, the phone calls, the emails, that whatever. Just sit down. Because once I can ground down, Amy O'Connor said this thing the other day in class, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. She's talking about how she was boxing, and mm-hmm. one of her trainers said, catch your body, catch your breath. Cool. And she equated it to yoga. And so I find myself, when I'm getting tense, or when I'm like, all
just
over the place,
a minute, just
my body's over here, my breath is over here, I'm not breathing. That's when I'm like, sit down. Just sit
and
down.
And do you literally physically sit down?
Physically. I have to sit down.
Like, you're your own dog. Like, sit, Jody.
Yeah. Like, I'm... Makes sense. My mom yelling at me when I was 5. Sit down, you know? Wow. And then yoga for me is... So, sitting down and creating space and breathing and just be still.
Yes.
Just be still. Like, you're moving.
Just take... Just
constantly.
Just stop.
Stop.
Just stop.
Stop.
And be.
And be. Yoga is... It's a way for me to move through emotion. It's a spiritual... I've never been one to go to church. I don't want to be against it. That's your thing. Mm-hmm. More power to you. Yoga, for me, has become... It didn't start out that way, as I said earlier on. It has become a spiritual experience. And I say that meaning... It allows me the space to move through sadness, fear... Anger,
yes.
Where I would normally just be sit there and stewing. If I'm on my mat, and I remember in Vegas, I was going through a lot of stuff. There were times where I would just be so sad or so mad or angry. Mm-hmm. And Kim, who was one of my favorite teachers, said, just bring it to your mat. Let your mat take care of it. Just let your mat take care of it. Your mat's never going to judge you. Mm-hmm. Your mat's always going to be there. Bring it to your mat and give it to your mat. And so symbolically... Like the anger, the fear, the sadness, whatever. You're you're physically moving and breathing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I would say, sometimes they say, what's your intention? What's your focus for the practice? And for me, sometimes it would be like, just let go. Or let it be. Or it's okay. Or, and the other thing that she said, and I always say this still to this day, she said at the end of class, she would say, the universe knows what it's doing.
Mm.
So when we get all caught up in, but it's not like this, and it's not, it needs to be on my timeline, and it should work like how I think it's supposed to work.
I could hear that daily.
Right?
I could hear that
the
daily.
The universe knows what it's doing.
Gotta trust
them. So when things don't play out how we think they should, or how we were hoping, or you just have to trust and have faith, and that's really where it was instilled in me is through yoga, is it's okay.
You need to trust the process. You
gotta trust the process.
Yeah.
Trust the process. No matter what it is, how bad, how frustrating, happy, good, whatever, trust the process that everything is laid out and is evolving exactly when and how it's supposed to.
Yeah, that was so beautifully said. And talking about, like, anger, fear, sadness, anything other than, like, happiness, joy, bliss, the reason why you're feeling those emotions is because you're not getting what you want when you want it. It could be... in any shape or form. But like, that's where all those things come from.
And to me, it's, as a Buddhist, it's practice non-attachment.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is so hard.
Yes.
But, you know, speaking to that, you just said this morning, you know, as it's 4:30 in the morning and I have nothing better to do than go to the studio and practice.
Nothing better. Sounds great.
I promise you that I had a moment where it was like, I said this out loud, like, I'm in this studio. And the studio for me, it was, is totally like a healing space.
It's her own studio. She did a lot of cool stuff to it. Great vibes.
But I just had this overwhelming sense of joy as I was practicing. Like, to the point where I was in tears.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And, like, just so grateful and so happy. I know this sounds totally weird, right? But I speak to that, like, when I go into that studio, it's like, I'm like, thank you for
taking, your church.
Thank you for taking good care of everybody that comes in this space.
But it's unconditional love you're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It's unconditional, non-judgmental.
That space feels alive to me.
Yeah.
Yes. It does.
But you've created that. That's because of you.
Yeah, which is really cool.
So when you say you don't know really what love is, that is love.
I know. You like, crying happiness at 4:30 in the morning and she hasn't slept because she's so happy. That's probably delirious.
And love
it's beautiful.
It's not someone. It's not something. It's the feeling. And that's exactly what it is. You've created unconditional, a space where there's unconditional love.
Yeah.
It's not just joy. It's all love.
Yeah.
You know, joy is with
love. Everything's
love.
Yeah.
You've created that. So now you need to look at your life when you say you don't know what love is. Love is that very moment. Love doesn't mean you have to be in love with someone. It doesn't mean you have to be in love with things. It's not just an act of emotion. Like, I love you. I bought you this. I love you. I bought you that. It's not just love between friends. It's loving everything in every single moment. In that moment, loving the space, loving the energy, and spreading that love. And if more of us did that, you know, I mean, we have our moments. We're human. You know, we get distracted. We do this, that, the other thing. But if we practice more of being aware of what love is, love is a stranger, even picking up your coat that it fell because they cared enough about you. Everything is love. Every emotion is love. Everything is love, except for when it's hate. There's a very fine line, you know?
Yeah, and what's beautiful about yoga and meditation is, like, that helps you connect those, like, instances, which Jodi was talking about, that, you know, what do you say? Use your mat, let your mat figure it out or something?
Bring it to your mat. Let your
bring
mat
it to your mat. So, like, yeah, we all are human.
Friendship bracelets.
So we all are human, and you're not going to feel love all the time. You're not going to be happy. You're going to feel all other emotions that are like hate, and whether it's yoga or meditation. And I always say this in my classes, like, yoga doesn't have to be the asana posture practices that you see online and stuff. Yoga doesn't have to be meditation. Yoga can be drawing for you. Yoga can be dancing. Yoga can be singing. Yoga can be doing stand-up comedy. It can be whatever sparks. You can be creating
it's when you're
jewelry.
In your purpose.
Yes, it's when you're in the flow
when you
state.
Feel it.
Yes, when you feel when you are just
knitting.
All encompassing everything that you're doing and enjoying it, and like that's where the magic happens. That's where you'll be pissed and you'll be angry. You'll be crying on your mat or whatever your mat is, like figuratively that you're doing.
I love
you're gonna
that.
Like. Love,
what's your mat?
Hate, yeah, what's your mat, man? Tell
what's your mat?
So I always say that in class, so at the end, like, I have to let people know, like, this isn't, like, you coming on your mat isn't even what it's all about. It doesn't have to be you coming here on your mat. It can be you sitting down and drawing, and I say a laundry list of things. It's like, what makes you get out of that other zone of hate or distraction or
ego.
Attachment, ego, all that stuff
judgment.
That isn't anything. It's not anything. That's not real. Like, realness is, like, what do you feel when you close your eyes? Realness is what makes you create, what gives you passion. And yoga, whatever yoga means to you, is what is going to make you tap into the frequency of love instead of hate.
So, I made these bracelets. And
beautiful, by the way.
Let's
be clear. I mean, they're beautiful.
So, when I did my Reiki healing on Kelsey, I gave her one.
Do they have a name?
No.
They're green. They feel good. She made them
awesome.
A little small. My wrists are a little large, so she had to give me the biggest one.
I made these, and I've been wearing them every single day. So
me
like,
too.
It has my Reiki healing energy inside of it. So before we wrap up tonight, I think
do we have to be done? I mean, we could last and talk all night.
We could talk for hours, but I think that what we should wrap up with is, because it is Valentine's Day when we're launching our site, so it's Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day!
And I think that we should kind of, just a quick little thing that you love about yourself, and because most people that are watching this are women, and we all deal with body issues, we all deal with, you know, skin issues, hair issues. We wish, you know, our boobs were bigger. We wish our, you know,
but all that shit
smaller.
Don't matter.
So I think we should just go around the table and just say something that we love about ourselves mentally, emotionally, and physically. You can just name off. Yeah, and just want, like, one thing. So, Kelsey, mentally, what do you love about yourself?
I'm going to go last.
Okay, Jody, what do you love about yourself mentally?
In your brain. What do you love?
What do you love?
The way that I can think about things from, I can shift my thoughts. I'm aware, self-aware.
What do you love about yourself emotionally?
Compassion, big heart.
What do you love?
I'm very giving. Mm. To a fault sometimes.
Mm. Yeah. What do you love about yourself physically?
Oh, man.
Come on, I can say a million. How about you?
Eyes. Actually, eyes!
So, mentally, what I love about myself is my ability to practice non-attachment.
Biggest thing.
You know what? Mm. I didn't need that little... 99.9% of the time, my ability to practice non-attachment.
Fair.
That 0.1%, you fucking get me. The emotional aspect I love about myself is my compassion for everyone and everyone that's around me, for complete strangers. Mm-hmm. And I think what I love about myself physically is the ability to change my body and to realize when I was unhealthy and I was weak, that I needed to make myself strong and know that no matter what goes on in my life, I always have the ability to physically change my body. I can always make myself stronger. I can always make myself weaker.
Love that.
So, Kelsey, what do you love about yourself mentally?
Mentally? I love that I kind of have like a childlike brain. I'm like the smartest, dumbest person you'll ever meet, but I like that I look at things simply. Like nothing's ever really a big deal, and I always come back to that. Like, I never really take myself too seriously, and when people do, I'm kind of like, come on, like, it's not really that big of a deal.
So what do you love about yourself emotionally?
Emotionally, I love that I love. I just, like, love everyone. I love she myself.
Does. Totally. I remember when I first, like, my first couple weeks with you, I loved how loving you were, but I'm like, this girl hugs all the time. And I wasn't used to it.
I'm like,
I know. And it's like that. You hug and then you like jump. And
she's like, I'm like, and I don't just hug. Like, and I call my family and friends and everyone out all the time. Like, I have so many people that like give me a hug that are just like.
And I'm like, that's a hug.
Yeah, and I am like,
I'm not going to embrace
squeeze,
it. I'm going to get all up in
embrace,
this.
Like, hold
and
it all in.
And you smile. You always smile when you hug.
Yeah, and it's not fake, you know? So, like, and family members and shit, are people are like, are you really always like this? And no, I get annoyed, I get mad, I get all the emotions, but it's very, like, fast.
So what do you love about yourself physically?
Physically, I love my new
blue hair.
Totally.
It's my favorite new hair.
Love it.
And I love it, and it's going to stay blue forever.
Yeah.
So we will conclude our Yoga Girls session for tonight.
And where are we next time?
So next time.
Next week.
You're going to be.
I'm going to be in my yoga zen den down the hall.
You're going to be.
I'm going to be in my, I'm going to say second home, but I think it's like really my soul first home. I'm going to be in Key West. So be coming to you from
Key West.
Key West, palm trees.
I'm going to be in the universe. So my location is unknown right now. I don't know where I'll talk to you guys. I don't know if I'll be in the studio. I don't know if I'll be at home. I don't know if I'll be at work.
Starbucks,
definitely.
She's always at Starbucks.
But I'm always at Starbucks.
Which I think is fascinating that you are that into coffee.
I don't
drink
coffee.
She doesn't drink coffee. She drinks the green tea with sugar.
It's my only vice. It's green tea lemonade sweetened with light ice. If you love
she's
me, you
attached to it, guys. She's not practicing non-attachment to a green tea. She needs it every day.
I went 4 days without green tea last week.
That's great.
Just saying. And then I proceeded to check into every single
Starbucks. I'm like, she's at Starbucks again.
Don't judge me.
No judgment.
Judgment for yourself. All right.
So check us out on www.theyogagirls.com and you'll find our links to all of our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Until then,
we need like a sign off. Namaste. We do need a sign off.
Yeah, well,
let's do.
I think that can be.
That's vassal of love.
Well, it
we can do three
don't know what it is yet.
And also,
I just want to kiss you.
I'm gonna bow with love. And we love all you guys. It's Valentine's Day. Practice self-love. Love yourself. Have some fun.
Bye.
Bye-bye.